Well, God bless you. It's wonderful to be back here. It's many ways it's like coming home. So we are going to have a wonderful time bringing in the new year. You know, I am really excited about the new year. I think it's going to be a great year. I think it's going to be a great year for all of us. There is a group of people, though, that might be disappointed in this upcoming year, and that's the opticians, because everybody's going to see 2020. So, just, you know. But I didn't come here to tell jokes. I came here to teach the word. We're going to open in Romans chapter 1. Our topic for the next few days is the power of God in us. And it is a huge topic, but I believe that what we'll get into will be helpful to all of our understanding of the power of God. One of the things that is very helpful is to learn how the Word of God defines its own terms. Usually if you want to find out what something means, you look in a dictionary or some other kind of lexical aid. But the Bible is unique, and we'll see some examples through these days ahead of how the Bible defines its own terms. And here's a good example of, I believe, a very good working definition of the power of God in our lives. It's in Romans chapter 1, in verse 16. Well, we'll start in verse 15. It says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." The word gospel, you might be familiar, it means good news. I think we're surrounded, like Dennis was talking about, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That comes from the word. But we're also sort of surrounded with some bad news, some, you know, stuff of the world that we're not to be conformed to. But the Word of God is the good news. That's, you know, the gospel is a synonym for the Word of God. And Paul was ready. He was, you know, prepared. He was anxious. He was very desirous and zealous to preach the Word to the people at Rome. And then it says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He wasn't ashamed of this word of God. "For it," the gospel of Christ, "is," what? "The power of God unto salvation to everyone that does one thing." What? "Believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek." This is very good insight to the power of God. Because the power of God is directly tied to the Word of God, the gospel. But there's, for the Word of God to become powerful in our lives, there's something that we need to supply. You know what it is? To believe it. The Word of God is not written for the unbeliever. In fact, the unbeliever doesn't really understand the Word. They won't really get it. But the Word of God is written to be believed. And when you believe the Word of God starts to become powerful in your life unto salvation. And the word salvation, better translated, really is the word deliverance. And it's used consistently in the New Testament of deliverance. Now, this pertains to the new birth. When someone accepts Christ, when somebody accepts the Word of God concerning Christ, the Word of God believed brings the power of God in their life unto deliverance, salvation, deliverance from death, deliverance from sin. It also works day by day. As you believe God's Word works in those situations to deliver you from whatever it might be, to bring the desired results. You can think of this verse as being an equation. The power of God equals the Word of God believed unto deliverance. And that's a good definition of the power of God. When you start believing the Word of God, you will start seeing the power of God in your life unto deliverance. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. When I was here 6 months ago to do an introduction to the Bible, we started with this verse of Scripture. It is extremely foundational. It's a good starting point for our study. In verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is," what? "Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So the Word of God, the Scripture, all of it, is profitable. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think all of us desire to be profited. I trust that that's why you're here, for this advance, is to be bettered. I trust that we all will be bettered by what we do here. Well, the Scripture is profitable. It will assist you. It will help you. It will better your life. But there's another category of profit described in the Bible, and it's in 1 Corinthians. Did I say 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Good. I'm not there, but get there. It says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to," what? "Profit withal." So another category of profit is the Spirit of God. The manifestation of the Spirit of God is profitable. These are the two great power sources that God has given us: the power of His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, unfortunately, if you've had much experience with interacting with Christians of different denominations and different belief systems, oftentimes there's not many things that Christians agree about or that Christians, believe. But there are two things that every Christian does believe or has believed. You know what it is? That Jesus Christ is Lord and that God has, what? Raised Him from the dead. That's something we all have believed as Christians. And you know what we all share as a result? Is we all share the Spirit of God. We've all got it. Now, it's not a requirement to come to this New Year's advance to be a Christian, right? It wasn't on the registration form that you had to be a Christian. It is a requirement to be a Christian by the time you leave. But one thing that we all have is we all have the Spirit of God. And all of us have access to the Word of God. In fact, that's what we're here for, is we're here for the Word of God. And so as a result, we can be profited by these two great power sources that God has given us: the power of the Word and the power of Holy Spirit. In fact, those two things go hand in hand. Those two things are so closely associated in the Scripture that they should not be separated. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians chapter 1. You stop and think about it. Well, how did we get the Word of God? Well, here it tells us in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of" who? "Jesus Christ." So Paul, the Word of God that he shared, the Word of God that he taught, he didn't get it from man. He didn't get it from man's thinking, from man's understanding, from man's theology. But he got it from another source. And the source he got it from was by revelation. And revelation is part of the prophet of Holy Spirit. It comes by the Spirit. So how did we get the Word of God? We got the Word of God by the Spirit. Now, look at Galatians chapter 3. In a similar way, ask yourself the question, how did you get the Spirit? Well, Galatians chapter 3 answers that. It says in verse 2, "This only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of what? Faith." In other words, did you earn the Spirit by the works of the law? No. But you did get the Spirit by hearing and believing, faith. And what did you hear? The Word. So stop and think about it. How do we get the Word? By the Spirit. How do we get the Spirit? By the Word. You see, they're so intricately connected that if we try to separate them, it's to our own detriment. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, think of it. We all have the Spirit of God because we're Christians. And one of the great benefits of having the Spirit of God is it's the Spirit of God that enables us to understand the Word of God. You know, reading the Bible and studying the Bible is not just an academic exercise. It's not just an exercise of human intelligence. But it's really the direct result of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because whose word is it? It's God's word. You know, He's the one that gave the word. And He's the one that helps us to understand the word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of" who? "God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So what is it? It's the Spirit of God that helps us to understand the things that God has given to us freely. Verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches," the Holy Spirit teaches, "comparing spiritual things with" what? "Spiritual." Now, this is fantastic, is that we are to compare spiritual things, spiritual matters, with the spiritual truths of God's Word. In other words, God's Word is the checkpoint for anything that you might encounter that is spiritual. Like, how do you know if something's genuine? You know, how do you know if something's counterfeit? How do you know whether it's something to be embraced, something to be practiced, or it's something maybe to be wary of and avoid? Well, if it's in the category of the Spirit, and a lot of things that we encounter are spiritual matters, if it's in the category of the Spirit, you know what you do is you compare it to the spiritual things of the Word. Comparing spiritual things with the Spirit of the Word. It's the Spirit of God that is defined by the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that helps us to understand spiritual matters. You see how they just go hand in hand? Now, one of the reasons I bring this up is that this very important balance between the Spirit and the Word is something that a lot of Christians, unfortunately, have gotten out of whack. There are people that think that their life is only governed by whatever the Spirit tells them to do. Have you ever encountered that? In fact, there's fellowships that are organized like that. Perhaps you're familiar with that. Don't even crack the Bible. Don't even look at the Bible. But it's all about the Spirit. Well, what's God working? You know, and anything that comes up is okay if it's a spiritual matter. Have anybody ever encountered that kind of stuff? I have. I've also encountered people that, well, I don't believe in any of the manifestations. I don't believe in any of the miracles of the Bible, but I'm a Bible guy. You know, so it's kind of an intellectual approach. You know, both of those are really out of whack. You know, there needs to be a balance between the two things that God has given us for profit, the two things that God has given to empower us. We need to have the Word of God in our life, and we need to have the Spirit of God in our life. You know, it's one of the great keys to understanding what you read in the Bible. The more that you understand about the realm of the Spirit, the more that you will see underlying the records in the Bible, the operation of the Spirit of God. We just, maybe you guys did this over here. I know in our fellowship back in California, we just studied and taught and looked at the birth of Jesus Christ during the month of December. One of the records that is very significant concerning the birth of Jesus Christ is the record of the Magi visiting Mary and Joseph in their house in Bethlehem. Remember, did any of you read that in the past month? Now, what guided, what initiated the Magi to leave where they were in Babylon and undertake over 500-mile journey to go to Jerusalem to ask, where is he that's born King of the Jews, is what they saw in the stars. And that can all be traced, what they saw. And what they saw was a conveyance of God's word. But I know also, and it's very clear when you work the record, that what they saw was confirmed by the Spirit of God, indicating that this is something for them to do. Because I'll tell you, that which they saw is not something that just happened once in all of human history. The particular configuration of stars has happened multiple times and is not that uncommon. But it was confirmed by the Spirit of God. And remember, once they get to Bethlehem, and Herod is, you know, trying to trick him into disclosing where the child is so he can murder him. Remember what happened there at Bethlehem was that they were warned by revelation not to go back to Herod. They were very familiar with the operation of the Spirit of God. When you read in the Bible, it doesn't always say, like, okay, Moses is going to part the Red Sea. It doesn't say, okay, now Moses got word of knowledge and word of wisdom to lift up his staff. No, it doesn't say that. But if you have knowledge of what the Bible is teaching, he got revelation, right? Underlying the word of God is understanding of the Spirit. And understanding, or underlying an understanding of the Spirit is the word of God. You see it? It's how they both work together. So in our lives, we want to apply ourselves to learning the Word. And the Word, in many ways, is like an instruction manual for the gift of Holy Spirit. How do you know that you have Holy Spirit? It's a very interesting question because there's a lot of people walking around who are born again of God's Spirit and don't even know they got it. I went for years and didn't know I had the Spirit of God. I got born again when I was a child. But I didn't know anything until someone taught it to me from the Word of God. So what we're here to do is to look at these two great realities, the reality of the Word and the reality of the Spirit. To close, well, we'll look at a couple scriptures in the Gospel. Look at John chapter 6, please. This is just a little sidelight. This won't cost you anything extra. But, I looked this up this afternoon. There's only two places in the Bible where in the sixth chapter there's 66 or more verses. But here's one of them. This is John 6:6. Look at this. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now that's 666, isn't it? That's evil. See, I told you it wouldn't cost you anything extra. Anyway, we're not going to look at that. That's not why I had you turn there. Look at John chapter 6, Verse 63. There he is. He's making fun of opticians, and now give me that verse. Verse 63, it says, it is the Spirit that what? Quickens, or makes alive, gives life. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are what? Life. See, once again, that interconnection of the Word and the Spirit. They are spiritual, life-giving words. When you really get the Word and start believing it, it brings life. Because God put His very life into the Word. He breathed all Scripture. He put the Word of God, and it became a living thing, the living Word of God. Now, to close tonight, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. This is where the Sadducees, who don't believe in the resurrection, came and were trying to trick Jesus about the woman that had been married all the times. But in verse 29, Jesus answered and saith unto them, you do err, or another translation, you are deceived, not knowing what? The Scriptures, nor the power of God. And that's basically how the devil deceives people, causes them to err. You know, someone can have their head filled with Scripture, but it also has to be applied and believed and produce the power of God in their life via the Spirit. Somebody can be born again of God's Spirit, but then have no Word of God living in their minds, no Word of God in practice in their life, and they too get deceived. But this sets the boundaries, this sets a wonderful understanding, a definition of what the power of God is. The power of God comes from the Word of God, and it comes from the Spirit of God. And so that's what we're going to be looking at in these days ahead. Okay? So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful privilege it is to be looking at your great power that is in us. And Father, how we can grow in that power, our understanding of the Scriptures and the power that you've put in us through the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for each one of us as students and even more as your children, that Father, we can do your will and continue to grow and continue to understand the great spiritual matters that you have before us. So, Father, I pray for good, restful sleep for everybody, for our children and the children's fellowship that's wrapping up. And, Father, that these days will be unto your praise and your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.